parsonage. All right, is that better?
Yeah.
All right. From building and grounds, from the parsonage, we have some rafters and roof damages that we're going to be repairing, and they will be done regardless. We have to have that repaired to keep our home structurally sound. We also have some other opportunities we're looking at as far as remodeling. We have no quotes in for that yet at this time. So we're still waiting on that, and we have no real decisions made on that. Some people are wondering why we have not yet formed a search committee. We are working on the process. We got together, a few of us, last week, and we started working on the church profile. But we felt it was important that the incoming consistory members would have input with the search committee members. So right after the first of the year, that is something that is going to happen. They'll form a search committee. And, you know, I've had a few people that have mentioned to me they would possibly be interested in being on that committee. I have passed on names. So if anyone else is interested, please contact a consistory member. Our Thanksgiving service is going to be on Wednesday, November 22nd at 8 p.m. And you can read the bulletin for further information on that. I think the pastor that night is going to be Mark Gruen. So that's all I have. If you have any questions, you can ask any consistory member. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Bob. Appreciate you sharing that information. Of course, always keep an eye on your bulletin inserts with the announcements and prayer concerns. There was a question if there is any new information about Nell. Anybody have any, Nell Derenfeld, anybody have any update on how she's doing? Okay, all right, nothing. But let's of course, be sure to keep her and all of the others who are listed there in your prayers. Note the Thanksgiving service. There are so many things that are beginning to pop up as we move into this time of year. So it's very important that you take a look at that bulletin and try to remember to write down particular things to which you ought to respond or feel led to respond. But take note of those and keep them in hand. Let's continue with our worship this morning as we open our hearts to the worship of God with our call to worship. It comes to us from the 68th Psalm, verses 32 through 35. And with these words, let us open our hearts to the worship of Almighty God. Sing praises to God. Sing praises to Him who rides the ancient skies. We will sing praise to Him who thunders with a mighty voice. We will proclaim the power of God, whose majesty is over all His people. The God of Israel gives power and strength to His people. All praise be to God. Let's turn together to our opening hymn for this morning, and we'll join in singing "This Is My Father's World," number 143.
Thank you.
of you in our worship this morning. And let's take a moment to greet and welcome each other. You all want to shake my hand?
Good morning. Good to see you. Good morning. Good morning. Good to see you this morning. Good morning. Good to see you. Good to see you. Glad you're here.
Thank you.
Oh, that was beautiful. That was very, very nice. I so enjoy listening to a bell choir. And with Advent and Christmas season coming up, I know the ministry of your bell choir is going to be really special. Just trying to think, if I don't have a Sunday where I'm doing pulpit supply, maybe I'll come over and listen again. Like, 17th. All right. I think I can do that. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Wonderful. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. We just concluded before the bell choir sang, we did our played, and we did our, after we did our greetings, before we did our greetings, we sang that song, "This Is My Father's World." And, you know, as we look at things in the world around us today, sometimes it's easy for our faith to be tested. But that third verse of that hymn is always a favorite of mine. It says, "This is my Father's world, oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems oft so strong, God is the ruler yet." God hasn't given up his throne. He hasn't given up his power. And that day of reckoning will come. We need to be faithful. Be faithful. Hang on to the faith. Amen. We've come to the time of our worship where we look into our hearts and we acknowledge our standing before our holy and pure and righteous God, the fact that we are sinners, but by God's grace, saved through faith. But at this time, let's take a moment to open our hearts in a time of thoughtful confession before our God. Let's pray together the prayer of confession in our bulletin. Holy and merciful God, we approach your throne in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We come confessing our sin, guilt, and shame. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting to love as you love us. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Forgive our sins and help us to live in your light, the light of Jesus Christ. Hear now our silent prayers. Amen. The word of God that brings assurance of his forgiveness of our sins comes to us this morning from Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. And there we read these wonderful words of life. "Once you were dead in your sins, but God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, nailed them to the cross, triumphing over them by the cross." Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Let's join in a hymn that celebrates the wonderful grace of God. And let's join in singing number 338, "Wonderful Grace of Jesus."
Take me away.
wonderful, wonderful hymn. Isn't that a great hymn to sing? Such a bright and uplifting, joyful hymn. And of course, when we sing of the wonderful grace of Jesus, we have every reason to sing with joy. We'll turn to the reading of our scripture lessons this morning. And we're going to be reading from 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. The Apostle Paul gives a very simple instruction to young Timothy to remember Jesus Christ. Sometimes as we go through life, our hectic world, our busy day-to-day experiences, you know, it's easy for us to, you know, for to get to include Christ Jesus in our plans for the day. That's why it's so important, I think, to begin the day with a time of devotion and prayer and a time of just a meditation to let the Lord speak. And then also we'll turn to the gospel lesson. And from this will come the textual focus for this morning, where Jesus teaches the scribe the most important of all commandments. And we will read of that commandment in a couple of moments. Let's bow together as I lift up a prayer for understanding before the Lord. Prepare our hearts, O Lord, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing we may also obey your will. In Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. From 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. Excuse me. I'm going to have a sip of this. I remember, I remember one Sunday at the Slayton Church. I knew if I didn't do that, all the way through the sermon, people were going to be clearing their throats for me. I had one Sunday at the Slayton Church. I had just started into the sermon. And I was leading it off with a little story that was supposed to be humorous. And I got just about to the punchline, and just like that, my throat just tightened up. I couldn't say another word. And I backed up, and I tried it again. Got to that punchline, and I could not get through it. So I just croaked out. I said, well, let's do the offering now and give my chance, throw it a chance to clear up. So that's what we did. And when the offering plate came forward and I looked at it, not only were there the usual offerings, but there were mints and there were cough drops. And I think there were even a couple of sticks of gum in there. So, people are concerned. And I know it's hard listening to someone try to speak or preach when their throat isn't up to the task. Anyway, we will begin again. We'll start with reading 2 Timothy chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable men who will also be qualified to teach others. Endure hardship with us like a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No one serving as a soldier gets involved in civilian affairs. He wants to please his commanding officer. Similarly, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not receive the victor's crown unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crop. Reflect on what I am saying, for the Lord will give you insight into all of this. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, descended from David. This is my gospel, for which I am suffering even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But God's word is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. And then turning to our gospel lesson from Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28 through verse 34. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. And noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, "Of all of the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," Jesus answered, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. And the second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and that there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all of the burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. Let's pause in a moment of silent meditation upon the reading of God's word. Amen. The textual focus this morning is simply verse 34 of the gospel reading. And Jesus said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. I'm sure we've all heard that saying, so near yet so far. It simply means that we have come so very close to attaining or possessing something that it is very nearly within our grasp, yet actual possession of it is not in our hands. Therefore, no matter how close we came to that object, that dream, or what have you, it might just as well have been 100 miles away, so near, yet so far. In our gospel lesson this morning, this is exactly what Jesus meant when he said to this scribe, this teacher of the law, You are not far from the kingdom of God. It was true, this man was not far from the kingdom, and the humble submission and faith by which he could attain it, he was very, very near to it. And yet, as we look at Jesus' words, we realize he was not in the kingdom as yet. He had not grasped it as his very own. He was not far, but he had not possessed it because he had not taken that final step of faith, faith in the Savior, Jesus Christ. Indeed, he was so near, yet so far. In Mark 7, verses 6 and 7, Jesus quoted the prophet Isaiah saying, Isaiah was right when he said, These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by mere men. You know, this is exactly the situation of this scribe, this teacher of the law. You see, he could not get beyond mere intellectualizing about God. He knew the Ten Commandments. He knew all of the law of God. He could understand God only within the context of the religious rules and practices with which he was comfortable. His inability to move from mere intellectual understanding to a personal, heartfelt faith in the Savior Jesus Christ, which God requires, was a barrier to him. It kept him from claiming the forgiveness, the salvation, the kingdom of Christ as his very own. Many Christians today are satisfied with only an intellectual knowledge of Jesus Christ. It seems they are unwilling to make that personal, heartfelt commitment to a living Lord who calls us to surrender ourselves fully to Him. And surrender is not an easy thing to do. And so instead they opt for an impersonal religion, based only on tradition, based only on hearsay, rather than on a personal relationship with the Savior Jesus Christ. In seminary, one of my favorite professors, the late Dr. Donald Blesch, who taught New Testament theology, in one of his lectures used a phrase which has stuck with me ever since. He said, God has no grandchildren. Have you ever thought of that? God has no grandchildren. He has daughters and sons, he has children, but no grandchildren. In other words, what he was saying is that true Christian faith cannot be inherited by birth. The life-changing power of Jesus Christ goes person to person, and it will not become a living reality in a person's life until their faith becomes personal, until it becomes heartfelt, until it becomes a life-changing relationship with a living Lord and Savior who can walk beside us through each day of life. You know, Jesus confronted his own disciples with just that demand. In Matthew 16, verses 13 through 17, after asking them what people all around them thought of him, Jesus, he then posed this question to them. What other people say and think is well and good. But the real question is, what about you? What about you 12 standing right here in front of me? Who do you say that I am? It was the disciple Peter who responded for all of them when he replied, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." To which Jesus in turn replied, "Blessed are you, Simon Peter, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by mere men, but by my heavenly Father." In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, part of the epistle lesson we read this morning, the Apostle Paul advises young Timothy to remember Jesus Christ, descended from God, raised from the dead. This is my gospel. What did Paul mean, my gospel? Was Paul trying to claim credit for the gospel which he well knew had come from Jesus Christ? No, Paul was not seeking credit for anything. In fact, in Galatians chapter 1, verse 12, the Apostle Paul declares, the gospel has come through the revelation of Jesus Christ. You see, his words, my gospel, were to illustrate that his own communion with the Lord, his own commitment to the gospel of Jesus Christ, was so deeply personal that he could refer to the gospel of Jesus as my gospel. He had made it his own because Christ Jesus was his own. In his book, The Priests and People of Ireland, Michael McCarthy tells of an interview with an Irishman. And he's talking to them about religious beliefs and practices. And to this Irishman, he says, "I want you to tell me exactly what you believe." Responded this Irishman, "I believe all that the church believes." "Ah, so," said McCarthy. "And what does the church believe?" Came the response, "The church believes exactly what I believe." "I see," said McCarthy. Now I want you to tell me exactly what it is that both you and the church believe." And the Irishman responded, "It's interesting you should ask that question. For you see, me and the church, why, we both believe the same thing." Well, that was as far as McCarthy could get, because he was dealing with a man whose religion was not personally his own. It was a second-hand religion with nothing personal nor intense about it. He could not even state what it is in simple words what he believed. Now, what would our response be to that question today? Would you or I be able to give a more personal answer than did that Irishman? You know, this is an important question to consider about what we believe, for a couple of reasons at least. First, it is important that our faith be personal, not merely tradition, not merely secondhand. Because you see, there's nothing contagious nor appealing about a cold, impersonal, secondhand religion. Nothing contagious about it. People are not going to long to grasp it and make it their own. And we have to remember that you and I have a singular task, and that is to share Christ with others. And a witness and a testimony that comes from personal experience with the Lord, that comes with a heartfelt expression of faith and trust, will truly touch the heart of someone who needs to hear of Jesus Christ. And so it is that Jesus asks of us, just as he did of the 12, "But what about you? What about you sitting here this morning? Who do you say that Jesus is?" You know, it was important that those disciples have that question firmly settled in their own hearts and minds if they were to be Christ's disciples and witnesses. And so must you and I have that question settled in our heart and mind if we are to bear witness to Jesus Christ. Secondly, it is important that we have a personal faith, because a mere secondhand religion will not stand up in the face of life's hard realities. As long as things go smoothly, a traditional secondhand religion may appear to be enough. But in the words of a sermon by Dr. Harry Emerson, when the whole world falls in, what then? A person in one of Dante's poems says, "Right well hast thou described the composition of this coin. But tell me, hast thou got it in thy pocket?" You see, a gospel and faith that we worship only for what it has done for others will do nothing to bring us peace and power when we need it the most in our life. The question is, have you and I got it within our hearts because we have truly received Christ and have felt His saving power in a personal way? But how do you do this? How can we do this? How can we make our faith in Christ truly a living personal experience? You know, it really isn't difficult. I had a conversation with a young man who drove me to Sioux Falls some years back when I had to have some surgery, and he was giving me a ride home. And his father was extremely ill. Basically, he was dying. This young man asked me some questions about salvation and about heaven, and you know, how can a person face the prospect of death without fear and trembling? So I talked to him a little bit about faith in Jesus Christ and about the fact that we just simply need to open our hearts, we need to lay ourselves before Him, invite the Savior in to be a part of our lives, give our life over to Him. And he was quiet for a long time, and then he said, "It's too easy. It's too simple." He wanted to earn. He wanted to work his way into the kingdom. And yet, the process is so simple. A humble yet heartfelt prayer of confession and repentance and acceptance of Christ as Lord can make our faith real and vibrant. And I think perhaps the best example of a prayer that can do this is actually that old evangelistic hymn, a prayer set to music, "Jesus, I come to Thee." Listen to these words as I share a part of that hymn this morning. I'm not going to try to sing it. But listen to these wonderful words. "Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, into Thy freedom, gladness, and light. Out of my sickness into Thy health, out of my need and into Thy wealth. Out of my shameful failure and loss, into the glorious gain of Thy cross. Out of my sin and into Thyself, Jesus, I come to Thee." You know, when we have allowed our own hearts and lives to be touched by the very message we are to speak, and we have received the very Master and Lord we are to represent, then our words, then our witness, then our lives will bear the ring of truth. For we can truly say "my gospel" only when we have first said "my Lord and my God." So tell me, exactly what is it that you believe? What does the gospel mean to you? Who is Jesus Christ in your life? Are they very real, a very indispensable part of who you are? Or are they merely hearsay, simply tradition handed down from grandparents to parents to children? Is it an intellectual formality? Today I want to encourage each one of us to search our hearts, to seek by God's grace to move beyond a mere head knowledge of Jesus Christ to that heartfelt understanding which a personal faith experience and relationship with Him can bring. And let us in humble faith and submission make Jesus Christ and His gospel our own by allowing Him to make us His own. You know, we never want to come to the point where we hear the word spoken of us, so near, yet so far. Let's turn in our hymn books, and we'll conclude this message this morning by singing our prayer hymn, number 488, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. And let us sing this hymn. Let us sing it prayerfully. Let us sing it sincerely unto the Lord, making this a prayer of invitation for our Savior to come into us more fully and more beautifully. Number 488, Just As I Am, Without One Plea. Please stand. Seated. Amen. As we go to the Lord in a time of prayer at this point, of course, as always, remember those that are listed on your prayer concerns. Take these concerns with you, and not only pray for the individuals listed here, but as you have various activities coming up, be sure to pray ahead about those. Pray that the Lord will use those opportunities, not just for a good time together, but for some true spiritual growth and a deepening of the connections you hold with one another here at this church. But do remember each of those in our prayers. Also, I would mention, and this is of a foreign concern in the sense that you may have heard, I'm trying to recall... Why my memory doesn't work. You start getting my age, it doesn't work all the time. You may have heard about the submarine that is missing, and I think there are some 40-some members of crew on board. The United States has sent one of our supreme search and find submarine rescue units there. So Argentina. But let's keep that process in prayer more than 40 lives hang in the balance, and of course we know that there are family members concerned and praying and agonizing just as we would if it were our loved ones. Let's keep our prayers not only for ourselves and our nation, but also for brothers and sisters around the world. At this time, let's bow before the Lord in a word of prayer and lift up all of our concerns before Him. Almighty God, the poet John Newton, so many years ago, wrote those words which have meaning for us yet today. Within these walls, let holy peace and love and concord dwell. Here give the troubled conscience ease, the wounded spirit heal. May we in faith receive thy word, in faith present our prayers, and in the presence of our Lord, unburden all our cares. Indeed, Heavenly Father, may those words be a reflection of our purpose as we've gathered here today to worship you. For we would find rest in you. For in you alone is rest, true rest, to be found. We thank you that you turn the shadow of night into the glory of a new dawn. We pray, Lord, that you would pour out your mercy, that we may rejoice in you. In the light of your divine presence, calm all of our troubled thoughts and guide our feet into the way of peace. Let your strength be more than sufficient to meet and to manage our every need and every weakness. And may your Holy Spirit guide us into all truth and service. As you search our hearts, help us to willingly open every door and window of our life to your gaze. Help us remember the words of our Jesus Christ. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone will answer the door and open that door, I will go in and stay with him and he with me. And so may we open the doors to our heart and to our lives, trusting you to graciously meet every need and to mercifully, yes, correct every shortcoming that may reside in our hearts and lives. We pray that you would hear also the prayers of intercession as we lift them before you. We pray for those who are ill and under doctor's care. We pray that you would be to them truly the great physician. Guide and bless all of those who are engaged in the healing practices. Bless them in their work. May they understand and know that more times than they might realize, they are instruments through which your divine and holy healing flows. We pray for those who are ill, sick at home perhaps, maybe hospitalized in nursing or convalescent centers. We just pray for all of them, Lord, for strength and healing. We pray for those who are experiencing grief and sorrow on this day because of loved ones who have passed on. We pray, Lord, that your spirit of healing and strength would touch them, that you would be to them as you have promised, the God of all comfort. We pray also, Heavenly Father, for this church and this congregation. Bless this fellowship here. Bless their elders, their deacons, all officers of the church. Bless and guide them as they move ahead in the process of seeking out and calling a new pastor. May your spirit even now be at work in the heart and mind of someone, that one whom you would send, that one whom you would call through the voice of this congregation. But bless that process, we pray. Bless this community in its ministry, in its outreach, in its close bond to one another. We pray also, Heavenly Father, your blessing upon our nation. Also lifting up our prayers on behalf of all leaders of our government at all levels. We pray, Heavenly Father, in these days of great uncertainty, that wisdom from on high would reside in the hearts and the minds of those who would lead us as a people. And we pray that we would be faithful as citizens in our prayers and in uplifting our concerns before you. We also pray, Heavenly Father, for other nations around this world. We think of the Argentinian sub that has been lost at sea. We just pray, Lord, for those 40-some souls that are aboard. We pray for their families. We pray for success on the part of the searchers, and we pray that this will have a joyous outcoming. But Lord, for all people around this world, especially brothers and sisters in Christ who suffer for their faith, we pray your blessing, your grace, and your mercy. We also remember, last but definitely not least, our military men and women at home and abroad. Thankful for their service to our nation, we pray, Lord, that you would guide and bless them. We pray for peace on this earth, so that though they have enlisted as warriors, that more often than not they can be peacekeepers. But bless our military men and women and their leaders, we ask. Keep them safe, grant them success. These things we ask, Heavenly Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And even as we come before your throne of grace and the mercy in our prayers, we also come before you with the gift, the tithes, and the offerings that we have brought to this time of worship today. May your blessing rest upon them as well, bringing honor and glory to you. In the name of Christ our Lord. Amen. At this time, we will receive your tithes and offerings to the Lord, and God bless you as you give to the work he has called you to do. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us join in our closing hymn for this morning. For those of you that use hymn books, 591, Have Thine Own Way, Lord. We'll sing the first three verses and then save the fourth verse for after the benediction. Number 591. Have Thine Own Way. Thou art the potter, I am the potter.
Search me and try me, Master, today. Wash me just now, as in thy presence humbly I bow. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Wounded and weary, help me, I pray. Power, all power, surely is thine. Me, Savior divine.
Let us receive the benediction, and now may the grace and the peace of Almighty God, the love and the communion of our Savior Jesus Christ, and the strength and fellowship of the Holy Spirit go with each one through this day and in the days to come. Amen.